No flats. No
flats. By the way, that beer stand was considered
the action. What's it considered the
Mike? He went back to the safe. Ready to get his phone number? Mike Green.
Oh, Mike Green. Yes, I do at home. I do at home.
But he's
awesome. All the way.
He came into class and started making fun of the Marlins when he found out I was from Miami.
Really?
Why, with the Marlins? We got to watch it.
Yeah, we won anyway, so.
Page 562.
Our team is less than 11 years old, man.
562. Okay. We had started the Mishnah, 562 Mishnah Pes. We had started the Mishnah that discusses various forms of excess. Yeah, the underlying of the Mishnah is that excess can get you in trouble. We had got the Marbid Nashi Marbid Shopping. The more wives one has, the more one is susceptible to witchcraft. So we had started speaking last time about the various forms of witchcraft. And why having men have it more, the more wives it leaves one susceptible to the effects of witchcraft. Marbish Fachos, Mishnah Pes, the more is the third line. So again, Marbish Bosa Marbrina, the more meat, the more worm. Marbish Chosti Marbish Dogon, the more you own, the more worries you have. Marbish Nashi Marbish Shafi, the more wise, the more witchcraft. And then Marbish Fachos Marbish Zima. The more maid servants you have, the more immorality you will be prone to. Which means that in history, plantations and anywhere else where people had slaves or people had women under their jurisdiction, so there's obviously a rampant immorality. A person who had one of the objections that we have, which you mentioned before, that one of the objections that we have to women being serving in the army is that a woman who is under a man's jurisdiction is left in a situation where she may have to compromise herself. Because in Torah, there's no such thing, page 552, there's no such thing as a woman who is subject to a man or under a man's jurisdiction other than her father or her husband. But there is no such thing in Torah. That's why a woman used to be, women would get married. Don't you see the woman living on her own? And don't you see the woman going off to university campus to be taken advantage of? In Torah law, a woman, she is raised by her father, and from her father's protection, she goes straight to the protection of her husband, which is why through history, women got married much earlier. Nowadays, they get married later, so they are at least more time to be taken advantage of. And so the Gedol and Paskin, that for a woman to go to the army, if you heard about Yavar, women have to give up her life rather than go into the military. Militaries in general are not known to their moral standards. The Israeli military, the last statistic I saw, they perform over 1,000 abortions a year. And a woman is under those circumstances now has to take orders, and it's very, very intimidating. You have some man who's telling you what to do, and he may be a high-ranking official, a high-ranking general. And then a woman is left in a situation where now she's got to make a sudden decision. She doesn't know. The guy says, well, listen, you know, if you don't do this, that, and the other, you know, I'd hate to have you court-martialed, you know, that sort of thing. And she doesn't know what to, you know, and she's absolutely absolutely helpless. Therefore, Marbish Vachos, Marbish Zima, the more women that person has under his domination, the more immorality he is going to be susceptible to. Number one. Number two, the more maidservants that he owns, all of a sudden they all show up. Look at that. The more maidservants he owns, all the anti-Chicago people show up today. I haven't seen these guys in a week, but all of a sudden here they are, right? The Talmidim have arrived, right? Yeah. And they brought their pencils and their notebooks and everything else. All right, folks, remember, we learned in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, you know, there's payback. There's going to be payback. One way or another, there's payback. And by the way, I fight dirty. No, man, I have no hesitation. I have no hesitation to jump you from behind. I have no hesitation whatsoever. Nothing. When you're least expecting it, right? That's coming, Ellie. And you particularly have the biggest smirk today. At least they came in, most pretended to be a gentleman. And you were smirking all day. It's like your day is made. All right. Okay. There's going to be payback. Right? Marvin Zima. Now. Marba avodim marba guzzle. The more slaves you have, the more theft there is. Again, slave doesn't have to mean slave the way we understand slaves. The more slaves you have, the more people you have working for you, let's say you're a boss and you have a company and people working for you, and all of a sudden you're going to see that you are vulnerable to theft. People take staplers and pencils and pens and everything else. Everything starts to disappear, which, by the way, realize that there is a rule in life. You know, if you're ever working a job, you cannot help yourself to things from the office. Right? People, you know, a stapler. You know, the boss doesn't mind, right? Or everybody does it, right? They, you know, these excuses are not valid excuses. The idea that everybody does it, which is the oldest one in the book, right? Everybody does. I heard once about a mother who called the school. She says, "Listen, my daughter lost the towel, on the class trip. You know, did you find it?" And the guy says, "Well, what did it look like?" He goes, "It was red with Holiday Inn written on it." You can't. So the more people working for you, the more they're going to take. And it's one of the standard rationalizations. The standard rationalization is that when you stay, especially stay at a Holiday Inn or stay at a motel or whatever, they want me to take it because it's good advertising, right? You know, they want to, they'll take care of it. How exactly you having an ashtray belonging to the hotel in your bathroom at home is advertising for the hotel? It's not clear, right? And, you know, but there is this idea, well, if it's not tied down, it's not bolted down, you know, I can take it with me. You know, you can't. If you ever have a out, you know, guy rips the TV out of the wall in the motel. You know, it comes out. They obviously don't mind. You know, half the wall comes out. You look at it, right? You know, they do mind. And there's a rule of thumb in life: if you ever have any doubts, just ask them. And when they have a special on when they're selling Coke, you know, 99 cents, whatever, limit 3 per family. Right? You can't just ask the guy behind you to be a member of your family. You know, you have to ask them. All you got to do anytime you have a doubt, just ask them. Sometimes you belong to a club or a library or whatever it is you belong to. You have a membership card. It says not transferable. You can't. Right? And you say, well, they won't mind. Right? They won't mind, and they know that everybody does it anyway. Well, there's the easiest way is just to go to the. What do you call? You have a chance to make a Kiddush Hashem by doing this, by the way. Just go to the manager or go to the owner or go to whoever it is and ask him, do you mind if I let my brother use my car? Right? And if he says no, then you're very lucky that he said no, because then you avoided stealing. And you find this in cabs, especially, by the way. This is very, very common. I'm not talking about running on cabs, Larry. You know, I'm talking about, you know, where you bolt out of the cab and you don't pay. I'm not talking about that. There are people who have actually done that, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, people that I've known in the past. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, when you're trying to do the right thing. And guys are willing to haggle. I mean, you throw away, number one, it should be absolutely no class, right? You have four guys get into the cab, then you're arguing with the guy over 5 shekels. You got four guys. It would come out to 1.25 shekels between you, right? Number one. Number two, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. And instead, you start, you know, arguing with the guy. Now, you have to realize there's a halachic. That's just to show how little class you have. But there is a halachic line over here. And the halachic line is that if you've agreed on a price with the guy, you can't start to Jew him down after he gets the thing. They can't do.
Before
you can do anything, anything's fair. You can take him out, and if he gives you a hard time, the three, you can grab him, take him out, you know, beat him up to lower the price. That's fine. That's all perfectly kosher. And once you've agreed that you're paying the guy 50 shekels to get from point A to point B, then you get to say, well, 50 shekels is too much. So listen, you know, just thought of that earlier. That's not his fault. Like, and people are willing to and you're talking about being prudent because they may have money. I was waiting in line in the dentist's office. Hey, the guy's taking an X-ray. So the lady says, the receptionist says to the guy, okay, it was 34 shekels for the X-ray. So the guy reaches in his pocket and says, I only got 33. So she says, okay, you paid it paid a shekel next time. The guy says, yeah, you're going to write it down? She goes, no, I didn't write it down. You remember. He says, I don't want to remember. I might forget. She says, well, just forget about it. So the guy says to her, well, Are you authorized to waive that shekel? She goes, no. He says, give me back the money. The guy pulls out 40 shekels, 220 shekel notes, and he gives her. He says, here. And she says, well, I haven't got the money. She says, I haven't got change. He says, that's okay. I'd rather that you forget to give me the 6 shekels than I forget to give you the shekel. She's secular. The guy was religious. She looks at the guy. She goes, in Hebrew, she goes, if there were more people like you, Mashiach haya magia mizman, right? Yeah, and for 6 shekels, he made a Kiddush Hashem, right? Wouldn't you pay? If I would give you an offer, I said, you know what? Pay 6 shekels and you make a Kiddush Hashem. A guaranteed kiddush effort takes 6 shekels. Would you do it? You have that chance every time you're in a cab. Every time you're in a cab, by the way, if you know that the cab is undercharging you, cab driver's undercharging you, you know you think it should be a little bit more. For 4 shekels, you can make yourself a giant kiddush effort. You know the impression? A guy would be shaken and say, hey, this guy paid me more than I asked for in a cab in Israel. And this guy paid more than a shekel. Well, wow, this is yeshiva guy's our life. Right? And he probably had some not great experiences with yeshiva guys, too. Or from people, whoever it is. So let him know you can make a giant kiddush Hashem. All pay money. So just realize that there are a lot of liberties people take when it comes to money. Yeah, when it comes to money where people make assumptions. Don't make any assumptions. All you got to do is ask the guy. All you got to do is ask the guy, is it okay? Do you mind if we take an extra carton? Even though there's a limit on 3, we take 4. Do you mind if they go, the guy will tell you either yes or no. And if it's no, then you've avoided stealing. And the fact that everybody does it is never. So marba avodim, marba gozel. The more employees you have, the more you're going to leave yourself. Realize if you've got employees, I think in the United States, I think the department stores, or certainly the grocery stores, part of their price, factored into the price, is a shoplifting, there's a shoplifting cost. Because they know there's a certain amount of merchandise that disappears over the years. What's that? You have it for shoplifting. Based on how much is disappeared in chocolate. They have an office for supply. Right. So you don't have to help there. And even that's a rationalization. Well, they take it into the accounting. The fact that I'm going to be walking off the block of paper. You can't do that. You can't factor that in. That's their problem, not yours. You can't help them out. Right? That's what
it's doing.
Yeah.
There's a book right called Fast Food Nation.
What's it called?
Fast Food Nation. It tells like all the dirt about the fast food industry. The 1/3 of all the robberies and stick-ups at a fast food place are done by employees and managers.
What, did they come back later in
the... They own the ski mask and the
size, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding, right? Yeah. That's where the McDonald's burgers are disappearing to. Over 1 billion stolen. Terrific. Wonderful. Okay, so Marbel, okay, so the first 5 excesses in the Mishnah are all the various negative excesses, right? The first 5 excesses are all the various negative excesses. Marbet Torah. By the way, there was an article. It's terrible. The Chil Hashem after he's terrible. There's an article in one of the papers here about how, unfortunately, the Israelis have earned a reputation all around the world. There are countries that will not let Israelis in because of their track record of vandalism and stealing in the various hotels around the world. Even they go in Switzerland and Japan, various places. Cab driver once told me, an Israeli young guy, you could just tell from the way he was laughing. I was just happy to survive the cab ride, right? And the guy was talking about, he finished the army, went around the world with his friends. He said they were in Switzerland, they went into a restaurant. You know, they just, the guy charged them for the meal. They said, no, that's too much. They started arguing instead of paying the bill. They just trashed the joint. He's laughing. He said they had a meal and then they trashed the joint to pay the guy for his efforts. They just trashed the joint. So I had a guy here in class told me that he was in the middle of he played in the Israeli professional basketball league. The guy was here. It was the math for a while. And he said that he was traveling to what he called, he was in also, maybe Switzerland. He said he's in the lobby of the hotel, and also he says an Israeli came down with his suitcase to leave. He's paying the bill. His suitcase breaks open in the lobby, and all these knobs and faucets and everything else. I was in the middle of talking about this, and this guy said it. And he said, it got so bad. The vandalism. Right? The vandalism. They wouldn't let them in. They wouldn't let in Japan. They won't let them in. Apparently, they will not let them in unless they can show that they're there on business. Right? You know, it's a terrible thing. And why? Only because you feel, well, why not? You know, they'll just replace it with another knob. There's all rationalization. Right? Well, at the end of the day, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah, I'll get to 1 second. The first part of the Mishnah is the five negatives. Now, there's the five. What is it, Larry? What did you say?
No, I was just saying, up in the Catskill Mountains in New York, the third largest in the world.
No,
during the year, it's all redneck. It's all going. But in summer, all the Rome Jews come. So they have the number one highest return rate for air conditioners.
At least it's that. I thought you were going to say shoplifting. At least it's that. I want to tell you something. The Limud Swiss is like this. If the store has a policy, and they have their policy, and they have nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and they're allowing you to do that, So even if you, even if it, it may not be nice, as long as you're not against the letter of the law, it's not considered theft. What you're not allowed to do is if they have a return policy, if you're not satisfied. Right? And not satisfied. Yeah, well, I'm not satisfied because I don't need it anymore. Well, no, that, that doesn't mean you're not satisfied.
Is that a return policy before, though?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It could be that a return policy is if there's an understanding here. The thing is malfunctioning. The thing is this. You know, it depends what the return, depends what the return policy is. One of the things that people do, they go to these rental places to rent a gown. Right? Which also, they have something, if you're not happy within 30 days, something like that, you return the gown. So you go and you rent the gown, and then you go and you wear it, and you got the collar, wears it at the wedding, and then you return it. Well, we don't, you know, don't need it anymore. Yeah, that's not okay. That's not okay. You should know, even using the telephone, even in the telephone system, again, I don't know, most of you have not used the public phone in years, right? But those of us who are still using public phones, you know, they have certain signals on the phone where they call, like they used to do call and collect. They were the family, the operator goes, will you accept charges from Stanley? Right? No. Right? And you hang up, and then you know that you meant to call him back, or that sort of thing. Right? That, what do you call it? You know. What's that? Right, right, right. And you're going to hang it up right. Yeah, right. That's right.
Wait,
that's not what I'm saying. I don't know that. Well, from Florida, where your name is picking up from school, right? Yeah, right. You know, they come up with a name. All these things, that's not the same. I got nailed once. I nailed once in high school. When we were growing up, the phone call was a dime. But if you put in a nickel and you slam the coin return with the phone, so whenever the nickel goes down, registers, bounces up and registers again, so you make a phone call for a nickel. So you take the phone. Yeah, I'm sorry, you put it in. There were guys who could do it for a penny. Apparently, if you stuck a piece of paper down the 10-cent slot and dropped a penny in the nickel, somehow that's already in my drink. But the nickel, and there were guys who could make a phone call. They could make a phone call for a nickel faster than I could make for a dime. I would just put the nickel like that, and it would register. So me, I would do, you know, I'd do it. I took me about 5-10 jobs, and it was just the geschmack of knowing that you've done it. Yeah. Then in high school, I was standing there. I think I was a freshman, and then with the phone, I almost broke the phone. I'm smashing. Also, the door behind me opens up. The principal happens to walk. I just, what are you doing?
Not working.
Nothing, sir. You know, then you owe money to the phone. But you should know, dispenser machines, right? Where they have the coffee machines and all sorts of, what are they called, vending machines. People seem to think that the vending machines are all related. You know, so if you happen to go into the vending machine, I got a free candy bar. Well, they owe me one anyway, you know. Yeah, they owe you one. This vending machine owes you for whatever you got wrong. Well, I got ripped off in school, you know. And here you're downtown, you know. They're not related, you know. Yeah, it's not like there's a cartel. All the vending machines of the world owe me, right? And by the way, to give a token slam to a machine because it just ate your quarter. No, you ate my quarter, and you give the machine a kick. It doesn't work that way. Like, and every once in a while, you find a machine. We once had it with a Coke machine. You know, we had it, you hit it with the corner of a book. Out comes a free Coke. You know, I'm walking around like this, and my older brother, the goody goody, you know, he saw me. He said, "What are you doing with that?" I said, "Well, the machine was giving them away." He said, "Hey, you can't say that." No, listen. Their responsibility, you know, they don't want me to take, you know, it doesn't work that way. There's a whole Shyland halacha if you find a quarter in a vending machine, there's a blog to it. So if you find a quarter, because there's a different thing, if you find money in various places, who does that money belong to? You found a Coke at the bottom of the vending machine. You got a free Coke. Who does that Coke belong to? The Coke belongs to you. Does it belong to the vending machine? Is there a use to it? Is that use? It's a halacha Shyland. And a person can be reincarnated for stealing a prusa. It ain't worth it. Right? That's Marbel, but Marbel goes up. It's a very difficult area of life. The Gemara says, the Gemara mentions, it's just interesting, the human nature. The Gemara mentions that gezel ve'arayos, right? Immorality and theft are two things that people have a natural draw and drive towards. Isn't that interesting? Theft is put in the same category as immorality. Immorality, everybody understands the drive for immorality. Theft is in the same category. There's always this idea of, you know, let's get a freebie. You know, let's get something for free over here. It's a tremendous drive, tremendous gate car. Something is left free and open and available, tremendous drive for it.
Everyone's ripping each other out. Expropriators.
But you're not allowed to do that. That's what Robin Hood did the same thing. And Robin Hood did the same thing. And in Monty Python was Dennis Moore. Right? Remember Dennis Moore? Dennis Moore used to steal from the poor and give to the rich. Right? Yeah, he was ruined himself, right? Remember Dennis Moore? Dennis Moore, Dennis Moore, right? You never had that? Dennis Moore. You know, there's Monty Python. You can't, anyway you rationalize, you can't do it. You can't still do something wrong in rationalizing. Now, then the door, we go to the flip side. All those are the bad things in life. Then we go, yeah.
What if people live in societies where, like, being a thief is, like, natural?
Okay, so the question is a good question. But at the end of the day, there is an halacha when it comes to bribery. It's interesting halacha when it comes to bribery. Are you allowed to bribe a judge? Right? Can you bribe? So the halacha is you can't bribe people. Right? You can't bribe a cop to let you off of a ticket. You know, if you're speeding, you can't bribe a cop. But, you know, now, can you bribe a judge? Right. So there is a halakha that if you're living in a country where the only way to get a fair trial is to bribe them, because you know for sure that if you're living in Turkey or you're living in Mexico, that you can assume the judge has already been bribed by the other way. The only way to get a fair trial is by bribing. That you'd be allowed to do. To steal in a country where everybody steals. Right, that I don't know. Yeah, you know, then you have to ask the other China. And Russia used to be, and the rule in Russia was, what do you call it? If it's not tied down, you take it. And then you ask questions later. Because everybody's stealing from everybody else. I don't know. Best thing to do is to move. Move to Chicago where everybody's honest. An honest cop in Chicago was after you paid him off, he stayed bought. That was an honest cop in Chicago, right? You can't do that. Marbit Torah, marbit chayim. The more Torah, the more life. Now, the plain meaning of this is, right, we're talking about what the excesses are. The plain meaning of this is, the more Torah you learn, the longer you're going to live. Marbet Torah, the more Torah you learn, the more you're going to live. For various reasons. Either the schar for Torah is long life, or if you maybe mean the schar for Torah is long life. Number two, Torah teaches you how not to do things that can terminate your life very quickly. And Torah teaches you not to bungee jump. Right? And the Torah teaches you not to jump out of airplanes and all sorts of things. The Torah teaches you not to get involved in activities. I didn't say you can't, but it's probably not. At any activity which could end up with immediate death, right, is generally frowned upon by halacha, right? Driving is something that is not regarded. The driving itself is not dangerous, right? In other words, when you get into a car, nobody says when you get in a car, you're doing that. If you don't drive carefully, it could be. Most people looking at a bungee jump would say that is dangerous, number one. Number two, there is something factored in. Dangerous, measuring danger activities, there is something that's factored in, which is how the society perceives the activity. That is something came in the dush. The society does not perceive driving as dangerous. For society sees driving as something which could be, your average person, if you ask your average Jewish from housewife in Flatbush, you know, what does she think of bungee jumping? She said, well, that's dangerous, and she wouldn't want her shmuley to do it. She wouldn't stop him from getting into a car, but she would definitely panic if she saw him up on a ledge bungee jumping.
Yeah. And you gauge it,
Like
things that some people can do better than others.
Right. So, for instance, sports for some people playing basketball is not. Most people playing skiing. You're right. Skiing, in my mind, there's no question of thing. Skiing would be considered dangerous because the idea, the halacha measures a broken bone is considered a danger. Right. In my opinion, skiing is. Yeah, I know of one from woman who suffered brain damage from hitting a tree on skis, avoiding somebody else. There was, a professional, the woman's skiing champion got killed on ski. Sonny, whatever his name is, and David Kennedy, you both got killed in the same year. And these are good skiers. And that's to say nothing of the thousands of people who break. Thousands of people. I did not say that it is usher. I said that if somebody asked me, it would be hard for me to believe because Allah measures how the activity is viewed in the society. And the society for driving our disciples said that if the Sanhedrin was around, it could be they would have ushered driving cars, right? And certainly to drive a car above the speed limit. Driving cars above the speed limit is certainly proven. People are always worried about smoking cigarettes. You know, you smoke a cigarette, nobody has killed someone else with a cigarette. At worst, you burned them with your cigarette if you weren't careful. People driving a car irresponsibly take out an entire family. So you're getting at the tricky area of halacha. There's also a question of things which are necessary for parnasa and things which are not necessary for parnasa. The halacha makes a distinction about what you would call things you need to do and things which are options, right? Nobody needs to ski for parnasa. Nobody needs to bungee jump for parnasa, right? So again, I don't know where the line is exactly, but skiing, you see people breaking bones all the time on skiing. I was on skis once in my life. Right, and after 15 minutes of going on, the guy took me on the Biddy Hill. And he said, we'll go on the Biddy Hill. I don't want no Biddy Hill. Biddy Hill is like Mount Everest, a Biddy Hill. Right? So I'm going on this Biddy Hill, here I am, I'm on these skis, and of course I've got, the Olympic music going in my dun, 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 and here I'm picking up speed and picturing all these Swedish downhill skiers I used to see on the Olympics. And I'm going, all of a sudden at a certain point I realize to myself, hey, you know what? I'm picking up speed, and I can't stop if I really want to. Right, and I realized, I think I'm out of control. Right, so what I did was I did the dumbest thing I could have done. I just jumped over in the sand, in the snow, to stop myself, almost wrenching my knee out of socket because it says ski spot. Then I slid down on my derriere all the way down the hill with my skis, and I went into the clubhouse and I waited for my friend for 2 hours while he finished skiing. Right, that was it. I just felt this is too easy to get hurt this way. It's just too easy. And little kids are zipping past me on their skis. These little 9-year-olds are zipping around over there. Hey, listen, now I'm in the wrong line of business. Marbles is much safer. Right? Let's go home and play marbles on the living room. On the living room carpet. It's much safer as long as you don't start throwing marbles. That's much safer. So it's very, very difficult to know where that line is exactly in halacha. A marbator or marbachai. Number one, Torah increases your life to stop doing dangerous things. Number two, Torah increases your life because of the midst of the reward you get is arichus yamim. Number three, Torah increases the quality of your life. Marbator or marbachai. The more Torah that you learn, the more quality your life, you feel a greater quality of living. If you're devoid of Torah, then you're frustrated by life and you don't feel that there's anything to live for, and you feel a certain sense of emptiness. The more Torah that you have, the more your quality of life increases. Mar bi yeshiva, mar bi chokhmah. The more you sit, that's where the word yeshiva comes from. Yeshiva is a place where you sit, the more wiser you are going to become. The more time you spend in yeshiva, the more time you spend learning, the wiser you are going to become, and therefore there's no choice, gentlemen, but to stay in yeshiva for many, many years.